Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmus. And day 37, the longest government shutdown in history, continues to have an impact. We've talked extensively about issues with the SNAP program. That hasn't changed much. In the meantime, the aviation changes are unprecedented, apparently, and that's where we'll start with CBS's Michael George.
The FAA is taking unprecedented action of reducing air traffic by 10%. Now, that means thousands of flights canceled nationwide beginning tomorrow. Officials say the move is in response to air traffic control staffing shortages and mounting airport delays due to what's now the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. CBS's Jared Hill joins us now with the latest on this.
But at least one airline, American, is basically saying you're fine today, and then they will let you know about any scheduling changes after that, but they're still waiting on more information from the government. The Trump administration's unexpected decision to cut flights because of the shutdown staffing issues has left airlines scrambling.
Our number one priority is to make sure when you travel safely.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announcing an unprecedented plan to cut air traffic by up to 10% at the nation's 40 busiest airports starting this Friday. Duffy citing the impact the government shutdown is having on air traffic controllers.
We are starting to see some evidence that that fatigue is building in the system in ways that we feel we need to work towards relieving some of that pressure.
A surge in sick calls from airport employees working without pay has led to delays and ground stops. The Trump administration warned staffing issues could get worse, with air traffic controllers set to miss their second next week.
If the pressures continue to build, even after we take these measures, we'll come back and take additional measures.
Several major hubs, including those in New York, Chicago, Dallas, and San Francisco, could be hit.
It's unfortunate that workers aren't getting paid, but to reduce the flights, they have to come to a solution. This is not good.
President Trump Wednesday urged Senate Republicans to end the shutdown, arguing it hurt them in Tuesday's elections.
The shutdown was a big factor, negative for the Republicans.
Democratic leaders called again for negotiations, looking to include an extension to Affordable Care Act subsidies to any bill to fund the government.
Stop the bull. Sit down and talk to us.
But Republicans insist on reopening first, the stalemate creating a major airport slowdown just 3 weeks before the Thanksgiving travel rush.
These flight reductions would start at 4% tomorrow and then 10% next week. Some of the major airlines say that the impact to customers should be minimal, while rebooking and refunds for canceled flights are a possibility and are definitely an option. You want to make sure that you check with your carrier for their specific stipulations. Some say you got to be waiting for 3, maybe 6 hours before you can get that refund or do some rebooking.
CBS's Jared Hill. So,
you know, I would like to make the observation that this 10% cut thing isn't going to go over very well, because flying is already a pain in the neck, you know?
So
this
many
is
people,
just going to make it worse, right?
So many people complain about the process of flying.
I mean,
days.
Just when it's running normally, right?
Yeah. And, you know, unanticipated delays. I guess when you travel, you have to put the mindset that anything can happen.
Right.
Otherwise, you will just be naturally aggravated with every step.
I mean, you never know when you're going to spend a night in an airport. It can happen. It happened to me once.
Oh, you slept in an airport?
On the floor in Minneapolis when I was rushing to Seattle to see my dying father.
Oh.
It was a nightmare.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying I can relate to this, because on a typical normal day, what could happen, right? Delays, cancellations, all kinds of, you know, weather problems. And now we're throwing in 3,500 to 4,000 flights a day starting Friday. And I guess they're going to kind of scale it up. They won't start with all of it, you know, but gosh.
Still, and it's through the hub cities.
And exactly. So if you're in Pittsburgh and you're going to make a trip on American Airlines with a connection in Philadelphia or Charlotte, you'll probably have a, you may have a problem.
Or Delta in Atlanta.
Right.
So no matter.
All three of the New York airports.
You've got to really plan. And it adds a level of anxiety. Aaron, you got to share with our audience what your mother-in-law said.
I was editing in here, said on what?
Traveling by air for you and Vinny.
Oh, she just said for our upcoming anniversary, she's like, and it was actually my mom. She
oh,
said,
your mom.
Yeah, she said, you know, maybe you guys shouldn't fly at all. And I was like, well, certain places you have to.
It's pretty hard to get to Italy yeah. if you're not flying.
Well, I guess Italy by rail and sea might be a whole lot more comfortable.
You know, it could be longer, but it's fine.
Well, I mean, Columbus came over in a boat. Would it take him 3 months? You imagine that. Do you ever think about that? I thought about it when we flew with the pit team to California in 5 hours.
Yeah, that's a nice long trip, isn't it?
But still, we went to the edge of the country, the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, almost transcontinental.
In 5 hours while watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I know, it takes me 5:30 to get out to Seattle. Just a little bit longer.
And you're contemplating trying to do a trip. I would say...
Well, I just told my sister in an email last night, maybe we ought to hold off for Thanksgiving unless this shutdown gets solved.
Well, we'll see. It's not really showing any signs of significant... You know, they're both parties are holding tight. Got to find a way, people. There are children, families, older Americans who are desperate for their food insecurity, and they need this to be somehow, some way. Today's news, weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. Today, Aaron and Paul, is National or International Saxophone Day.
I know someone who is a brilliant sax player. We call him Dr. Sax, Ralph Thomas, in Memphis, Tennessee. The man can play two at the same time.
What?
Yes, he can.
Out of which orifices? What? I'm looking at, you know who's a little envious right now?
Pat?
Pat Septax.
Yeah, let's see
there.
Him play two accordions at once.
Don't dare him. He probably can.
Right.
So happy.
Well, that's a nice sound there, too.
It
Thank
really
you for
is.
That.
Yeah, baby. Behave. All right. People are talking about, how about this? A truck driver in Ireland captured a video of an animal that looked like a lion roaming through the woods. He called the police, but officials found out that it's not a lion. It's a mouse, sort of. The breed of Newfoundland dog. Have you ever seen a Newfoundland, they're huge.
They look like oversized black labs.
Okay, hold on.
So
looking it up.
Go ahead. So the owner gave Mouse, that's the name of his dog, a haircut to make it look like a lion. And now people online are scolding the owner, saying you shouldn't shave that breed of dog.
No, that's right.
Because it has a double coat.
I mean, that dog is built for that. You don't shave that. That's not right.
So the police thought the truck driver might have been inebriated, but I guess he wasn't. But it wasn't a lion.
Where did you find that one?
True story. How about this? A company in Australia is building a giant hamster wheel for ski.
Just lovely. What's the reason for this?
Can you see David Valerato in our new newsroom on a hamster wheel? It's for skiers. It's called the Snow Tunnel. It'll be about 30 feet in diameter, rotate, and skiers will shred fresh powder indoors. The craziest part, how they refrigerate the inside of the cylinder so it can be covered in real snow even as it spins. A human hamster wheel. You like that, Paul?
I just, you know.
You just envision it immediately.
I think I've been on a human hamster wheel over here in this little booth for about 10-plus years.
You're not wrong. Have you seen Simone Biles lately? Want to guess what she's done? She wants you to. The 7-time Olympic gymnast has revealed she's had three plastic surgery procedures recently.
Wow.
And bet her TikTok followers they couldn't guess two of them. The third is obvious, and she says it's made backflipping a little harder.
Oh, gosh.
Her words, not
Yikes.
Mine.
Wow. And I follow her on social. I haven't noticed anything different.
Well,
but
she
maybe
wants you
she
to
hasn't...
look and see if you can. Why would that young lady... Who's
right,
in
do
the best
anything.
Physical shape I mean, a human can be in.
You've seen her. She's been in your studio.
She was right here.
She's a very lovely girl. Yeah.
She's
and you
petite.
Know what? If yeah. I had to guess.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's because she's married to an NFL player.
See, and I'm thinking of her as a girl. She's a woman now, right?
Right, yeah. You know,
but the image I have is the Olympic image.
Right.
Girl, you're a woman now. Isn't that a Gary Puckett and the Union Gap song?
It could be.
Girl.
I think that might have been a Neil Diamond song.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, it was. It was in Pulp Fiction.
As Pat Septak looks in, he's like, Larry, you get one of these wrong a day. Okay. I'll own it. I do. Would you clone your pet? We mentioned this yesterday. Tom Brady, who's invested in a company that does this kind of thing, did. He has the dog. And Dr. Mike Hutchinson, who's going to be with us next hour from Animal General. I love this. Dr. Mike said, and he's got some of his patients. Let's see. Several of my clients have cloned their pets.
This is Dr. Mike saying this.
Yes, it's expensive. But here's what he said that I thought is a remarkable observation. Quote, it's expensive proposition for a twin separated by time. And if that's the way you look at it, so you're not necessarily, when you say clone, you're thinking an exact replica. It's more like a twin but of another generation. Isn't that interesting way of looking at it? So not only has Tom Brady done it.
Well, see, my reaction would be, if I had cloned Ginger, then every time I looked at the clone, I would think of Ginger. You know,
yeah.
but not this dog, right?
Well, parents who have twins might understand the feeling because...
Yeah, there you go.
Twins are identical looking for the most part. If they're identical twins, like Shendarovich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Skip Fishman
Which
in
they
this
were
case.
Here on Friday.
Yeah. I saw the video.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was.
So they look identical. And I've known them for years. It's hard to tell them apart. Right?
I can't even, yeah.
But what if separated by time, it's the same kind of thing. They have unique personalities. But they look alike. So if you like the comfort of how your pet used to be and look and feel, maybe. But it's $50,000 to $60,000. So that eliminates a lot of us.
Any of us, yeah.
But we're going to ask Dr. Mike about that. And in our 9 o'clock hour, Paul, we have a man in Pittsburgh who freeze-dries animals.
I heard that call yesterday. That was an attention getter.
Unique,
and,
huh?
And Aaron... Are you saying?
I mean, to John, me, what you freeze dries is like Taster's Choice coffee, right?
Right. He may or may not be bringing a friend, if you know what I mean.
He's coming in studio.
Oh, no.
We're going to see if he can freeze dry some of our people here.
It's just an advanced kind of taxidermy, then.
Right.
Yes,
exactly.
That's exactly. But would you clone your pet if you had the money? By the way, did somebody hit last night? Powerball? Pittsburgh Technology Week. Kenya, good morning. You must be busy.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's very busy.
We hear so much about the emerging technology from this city, robotics, artificial intelligence, and how do you pull all this together and get a setup where people can participate and understand what's going on here?
That's exactly what Explore Pittsburgh Tech Week is. It's an opportunity for Pittsburghers, whether you're, you know, a blue-collar worker, a student, an educator, you know, if you work in corporate America, there's all different facets of technology. And so that's what Explore Tech Week is. It allows the everyday Pittsburgher to come and explore the technology that is growing and scaling in our Pittsburgh region right now.
And I know that people keep hearing about artificial intelligence. So tell us about today's program, because I think there'll be a lot of interest.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So today we are doing Google is actually coming to do an AI accelerator at the Carnegie Library in Oakland. And so it's an opportunity for people to come out and learn more about AI. So right now there's a lot of fear because people don't understand. And we understand that AI is growing at a rapid pace right now. And so again, the reason that this week that we put together this week is so that people can be educated. And so whenever you're as a human being, whenever you're able to move and navigate from a place of knowledge versus fear, there's power there. And so that's why I would encourage people to come out to the Carnegie Library in Oakland so that they can learn directly from the experts at Google about what AI is and how, you know, you can be educated about it and learn more about it.
Kenya, we've heard a lot about Google having a footprint here, I believe, Bakery Square area. They have offices.
Mm-hmm.
And their impact, I understand, is growing with the growth of this technology.
Yes, absolutely. And so, yes, Google is over in Bakery Square. I don't believe that there are, you know, some of the focuses out of the Bakery Square office definitely utilize the AI technology and the things that they are producing right here in Pittsburgh. And so that's why it's amazing that they're coming out of those offices in Bakery Square and out into the community to give back, to teach, and to help build community, because they recognize that they are a part of this community. So that's one of the reasons why they are, you know, sponsoring and supporting Explore Pittsburgh Tech Week, because they believe in what we are trying to do.
And you can get more details at techweekpittsburgh.com. Kenya,
yes,
did you grow up in Pittsburgh?
I did. I am a Pittsburgher. And so naturally, I'm a bridge builder. I'm a neighbor. I'm a connector. And so, again, that's what Explore is about. It's about bringing us Pittsburghers together, because that's where we shine at. You know, we're neighbors.
Again, techweekpittsburgh.com. Kenya, good luck, and thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Kenya Porter, founder of Explore.
10% reduction of flights in 40 high-traffic markets starting Friday. Today, U.S. Airlines announced they expect a record-breaking 31 million passengers over Thanksgiving, but that could be in doubt if the shutdown continues.
Oh, boy.
Talk about bad timing.
Yeah, well, this may be the pressure necessary. You would think not feeding your people might be a pressure, but add this to it, and hopefully they'll get something done.
Yeah, by the way, Pittsburgh and Latrobe are not on the reduction list, but the connecting airports that we use a lot, like Philly, Charlotte, Atlanta, New York, all three, in fact, there, they are on that list.
It's put a lot of doubt, too, people trying to make travel plans.
It is now 12 dead in the crash of a UPS cargo plane in Louisville, with the investigation underway now.
The NTSB has identified the flight recorders, so that's very good news. We certainly hope that they will have usable data. We know for a fact, I mean, it's been confirmed that the engine did depart the wing, fell off the wing.
And that, in and of itself, is extremely rare that an engine would come off and detach.
That's just like what happened in Chicago way back in, I think it was early 1980s or late 1970s. DC-10, same kind of plane, only an earlier version of it, lost an engine on takeoff and several hundred people were killed. They were taking off from Chicago O'Hare at the time. And then last night on the Monumental Sports Network.
Lost it there to Ovechkin. Quick relay comes to the point. Chikrin fires. Just missed. Ovechkin turns. He scores! The great eight is the one and only at 900.
His 900th goal, the most in NHL history. And guess what? He's going to be here tonight at PPG Paints to face Sidney Crosby in the newly reimagined Penguins.
You know, the reception that Ovi used to get in arenas around the country back in the day was not so good. But I would imagine tonight he'll get quite an ovation.
It'll be interesting to see how they handle that. By the way, coming up right after the news, Paul, with you at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to retired air traffic controller and aviation expert about both these restrictions that the FAA is putting in for travel and the UPS jet crash.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.